Okay, good evening to everyone, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm glad to see you on this evening, another day that the Lord has made, and it is good for us to be here. It's always good when saints gather together. We've all had a different path to take today, but God's been with us all. And God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. This is Velma Sanders. I think most everyone out here knows that. But we do have new people joining us periodically. So it's good to say that. And my name, this is the Contemporary Bible Class. And we are studying the Gospel according to Luke. I welcome each one of you. I'm glad to see you. And when I say that, I sincerely mean it from my heart. I'm glad that you are here. We will be continuing on in Luke chapter 17 today. On last week, we started the chapter. I introduced the chapter. We went through the entire chapter in introductory form. Today, we're going to back up to verse 1, slow down, and my goal, I don't know how far we'll get, but my goal is for us to cover Luke chapter 17, verses at least 1 through 4, and perhaps 1 through 6. So we'll see. As most of you know, I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. If you have another version, that's fine, but I encourage you for classroom purposes that we all have the same text, especially if you're reading orally, out loud, if I asked to read out loud, ask you to read out loud, that you would read from the New King James Version. Tonight, I will be asking, since we are starting this new chapter, chapter 17, I will be asking for some volunteer readers at the beginning. But first, let's go to God in prayer. Let's always go to God first. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, acknowledging you in all our ways. And that's what you said, acknowledge you in all your way, in all our ways, and you will direct our path. And that's what I'm calling on, Lord. I ask you to, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge you as God. You are God. And besides you, there is none other. We acknowledge you as our teacher. And no man understands the word of God without the Spirit of God. And so we call on you as our teacher and our guide. And then we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for calling us together, for being with us all day long. Every breath we took, you gave it, Lord. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for every blessing. Thank you for bringing us together, Lord. There were no guarantees when we left each other on last week that we would see each other again. But in your divine providence, Lord, you have brought us together again. And there is purpose in it. And we pray, Lord God, thy will be done. Now we ask you to be with all of us, each one of us. Whatever all of our needs are, Lord, thou knowest. We lift up every need of every person in this class before you. We include the absent part of us as well. You know our needs, Lord. We lift them up before you. We don't only mention our needs, Lord, but we live in a fallen world, and evidence of fallen world is all around us. But Lord God, we know that you love man. You love humanity. You so love the world. So we want to pray for hurting people, Lord, and they're all over the world, many people, many we don't even hear about. But Lord, we care as Christians. We have a responsibility as the salt of the earth and the light of the world to let our light so shine. And we have a responsibility to pray for others. So we lift up those in war-torn countries, Lord. We lift up those who are running, trying to find somewhere to go. We lift them up, Lord, and help us not to take for granted anything, but help us to remain in prayer and help us also to be ready, and to help to tell others to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We see signs everywhere. Signs of the time are all around. Now, Lord, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We ask you now to be our teacher, illumine our eyes, and cause us to hear what you would have us to hear, see what you would have us to see, say what you would have us to say, do what you would have us to do. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue on. As I said, I want to assign some readers, so I'm going to ask for some volunteers as we start chapter 17. In chapter 17 here, if I can find my notes, here they are. I'm going to need 6 readers, and this will be through the duration of the chapter. So I need 6 readers. So I need, first of all, volunteer, first come, first serve. Who would like to read Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 6?
I can do that for you.
Who is I?
Patricia.
Okay, Sister Patricia will be number 1. So, Patricia, your verses 1 through 6. Okay, the second reader. Patricia, okay. Second reader, Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Don't take all day. Someone volunteer for
Luke. Come, I can do that.
Luke 17, 7 yep. through 10.
Yes, I can do that first. Those verses. This is Ann Christian.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And then the third reader will be Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19.
I'll read that, Velma, Sister Velma. This is Kathy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Please identify yourselves, everyone. Okay, Kathy. Is that how you on Zoom? You're Kathy on Zoom?
I don't know. Should be me.
Kathy Murphy, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
My name shows up as Zoom user.
Okay. All right. And then number 4, and you all please write down your scriptures so Sister Velma won't be trying to have to find it every week. I will have it, though. Reader number 4 for Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 25. Luke 17, verses 20 through 25.
Sharon Young.
Okay, Sister Sharon Young. And if you haven't read before, speak up if you would like to. I don't mind repeating readers, but this is your chance if you would like to read. And then we need reader number 5, Luke 17, verses 26 through 31. That's 26 through 31. Is there anyone?
Sadie Cole?
Yes. Okay, Luke 17, 26, 31.
Yes.
Okay.
Number 5, Sadie Cole, S. Cole. Okay, and then the last reader will be reader number 6, Luke 17, verses 32 through 37.
I'll take that one.
Who is that?
Wendell.
Okay, Brother Wendell. Okay, now everyone keep in mind, it may be weeks before we get to your verses. So keep up with what your verses are because it may be a while till we actually get to your verse. Last week, we did go through the entire chapter, went through it quickly. Thank you for the volunteers for reading. I appreciate that. Now I'm going to ask everyone to please put yourselves back on mute. The volunteers for the readers. And tonight we will be starting at verse 1. So our first reader this evening will be Sister Patricia. And she will be reading for us Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. But before we get to that, we're starting this chapter. Now, last week I introduced the chapter. It was fairly rapidly. And let us read the chapter. And this is where I'll need the readers to do their part. Sister Patricia, if you would read for us. And I do want to ask all the readers, if you said you want to be a reader, that's great. We want you. I want you to be a reader. But I do ask, if you are a reader, that you will read from the New King James Version of the Bible, if you're a designated reader. Please read from the New King James. That keeps us all in unity and harmony. You may have another version. I have a lot of versions of the Bible. I don't use a lot. I don't use as many these days as I used to, but I have a lot of versions. But for classroom, just to come into uniformity, let's read from the New King James. So enough said, let's go into our lesson. And I'm going to ask Sister Patricia if she would read for us Luke 17, verses 1 through 6.
Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you should forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you."
Amen. Thank you. Now let's go back. Now, you all who have been with me a while know I like to do little by little. And I like the analogy of, we have the word of God is our food. That is our spiritual food. It is every kind of nourishment that we need. And man lives by the word of God. And it can be whatever you need it to be at that time. Now, this particular portion of scripture, we're going to see there's all kind of facets to it, but we're going to see as we go through it, it is a word of warning. It is a word of instruction. And as we go through this scripture, I ask you to notice the different characters that appear. We're not going to go through characters, but I ask you as you read scripture to notice characters, also notice the tone of the scripture. And some scripture, as you will see in this one, is not really a scripture of rejoicing. The tone of this scripture is going to change somewhat. So in chapter 17, verse 1, let's go through, I'll be going through it what I call little by little. And by that, most of you all know what I mean. We have just read, our reader just read for us, Luke 17, verses 1 through 6. That is the word, that is our meal per se for the day. But you don't pick up your entire plate and just gulp the food all down your mouth. You have to cut it up. And then even after you cut it up and portion it off, you have to chew it little by little. And that's how it is with the word of God. You have to take it bit by bit. Now, one thing about the word of God, you know, with our food, our natural food, you can complete a meal. You can finish a meal. Not so with the word of God, because it is the living word. On the other hand, we can, you know, part of the Lord's Prayer is, "Give us this day our daily bread." And God portions off our food. And as we grow in Christ, now the word of God does not change, but it is the living word of God. And it can, the same word And I've, you know, been confronted through the years, because anybody is welcome to come to this class. Anyone from any age can come to any of my classes. Why is that? Well, it's the same word of God. It's good for the young. It's good for the old. And God, by his spirit, he feeds, he's able to feed all of us. And if you notice, as you're reading through the Old Testament especially, there are many times where the Old Testament, the entire congregation came together and they would listen to the word of God. There was no sectioning off. Now, I'm not saying sectioning off is wrong. There's nothing wrong with having different, such as children's ministries, youth ministry, women's ministries. You know, we know how to section it off. But there are parts of that in Scripture. But God's word fits all. It'll reach everyone. So as we go now through Luke chapter 17, we open up. It opens up here. And Jesus now directs his attention to his disciples. And we notice that word disciples. And we also notice, as I pointed out on last week, in verse 5. Now, this is where, you know, I read from the New King James. Verse 5 says, uses the title apostles. So we have these two different titles. In verse 1, we have the disciples. In verse 5, we see apostles. Verse 1 is disciples. Verse 5 is apostles. Now you say, well, what's the difference? Well, there is a difference. The Lord is not just switching it up just to be creative. So we need to ask, what is a disciple? Now, if you were taking the time, and I encourage those of you who want to identify characters, there would be two different characters. The disciples would be the larger group. The apostles would be the subgroup, you know, because all true disciples, all of the apostles, that's how I should say it, all of the apostles were disciples. All of the apostles were disciples. On the other hand, I hope I'm saying that right, all of the disciples, well, see Judas is entering into my mind right now. This was hindering me right there. But at this point of time, there were many followers of Christ. Let me say it like that. Many followers, but we know before we're done with the Gospels, many of this disciple group will fall away. There will be a falling away, and not everyone will continue as a follower of Christ. Now, some will start out, some will not finish. And that's part of that larger disciples group. But for this scripture here, these disciples, followers of Christ, amongst those disciples are the 12. And that's who the apostles are. The apostles are the 12 original disciples, of which we know that Judas betrayed the Christ. And in the end, he fell away. He was not a follower of Christ in the end. So we start out here in verse 1, Jesus is talking to his own. We'll leave it like that. He's talking to the followers, whoever they may be at that point in time. They are following Jesus. Now, how far they go following him, we don't know. But we do know at this point in time, they are disciples of Christ. So that's who he's talking to. And he tells these followers, now we notice now it's all red letter. Jesus is talking to his disciples here. And he makes this statement, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Then it changes to a but. So we know that's a different clause coming. So let's look at this first clause, you know, sectioning off, portioning our food. Well, Jesus makes this overall statement. It is an overall statement. And it would be, as it were, the title of this section. So what's the title of the section? Well, we can see the major word in there. All of God's word is major. The major word in there, verse 1, is offenses. That's what this passage is going to evolve around, is offenses. When you look at verse 1, you see the word that it is impossible that no offenses should come. Now, the word offenses, does it show up again? Well, when we go on down, and this is part of sectioning all, portioning, slowing down, looking at scripture slower, we see offenses will come. But then it says, but woe to him through whom they do come. So then you have to ask, well, who is the they? Well, the they, it says, woe to him through whom the offenses do come. So that's that they. That is the one who brings, or the offense comes through them. So now we have at least two characters. We have, well, the disciples, of course, but we have, it says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Blanket statement, it is a law. And the law is what? The law is there will be offenses. Can't get through life without being offended, without, we don't want to, but offending someone. It happens. That is a law. And it says it is impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, offenses will come in life. All right. And then we go on down, just portioning off now. In verse 1, he says, but woe. Now the Bible begins to comment on itself. The Bible is its own best commentary. And it comments on itself and says, but woe now, woe to him through whom they do come. So the Bible now is going to explain itself, commenting on itself, letting us know offenses are going to come. You're not going to get through life. No one gets through life. As a matter of fact, we're offended in life at very young ages, even as children. Children get hurt. We've been hurt as children. We've all cried on the playground, probably. All of us have cried or something that happens very young in life, that these offenses come. But woe to him. Now, when we see that woe, you know, that's where you notice the tenor of the text. Woe to him. Well, what kind of word is a woe? What kind of word is offenses? Well, who wants to be offended? Is that a happy word? Well, you would say, no, I don't want to be offended, and I don't want to offend anyone. Most of us don't. We don't want to be offended, even though we have been in life, can't get through life without being offended. But that's not something we welcome. But then it goes on to say, but woe to him through whom they do come. So that lets us know there will be a vehicle. Someone is going to be used to hurt someone else. Someone is going to be used to say something, do something, hold a grudge, bring a bitter word. All those things come through people. And that's who's being used. So this is about people relationships between people. It doesn't say Christian people, even though it will be talking about Christians, but in general, it's talking about all people. But then we're going to see he's talking to who? He's talking to his disciples, because his disciples are what? Followers of Christ. So the way the world looks at things, when I say the world, I mean unregenerate mankind, those who have not been born again, those who do not profess Christ as Lord, those who are not trying to follow the way of Christ. They don't be trying to figure out, you know, some study, but their motive is off. But for us, we're studying to be followers of Christ and more like Jesus. So this scripture to us is letting us know, us followers of Christ, us disciples, it's letting us know you're going to be offended in life. But then it tells us, warning to us and to all, but especially us, we're the disciples. Woe to them, woe to him through whom they do come. So that tells you what? Well, it starts out with a woe. Now, woe is a little one of them little one syllable powerful words. And it's one of those open-ended words. You know, I like words. And woe is one of those words. It ends with that, oh, woe. And it's those one of those words when you pronounce it, well, you run out of breath. You can't hold that woe long enough. That oh, it ends. And that woe, it goes on forever and ever. If God pronounces a woe. And that's how dangerous and how serious this warning is. Because you may read this scripture and say, oh, this is about forgiveness. We know about forgiveness because that's what this text is about. It's about being offended, but it's also about forgiving. But the scripture wants us to know how Jesus wants us to know how very important it is that we do not be used as an offender. And it's going to go on to tell us if we do end up in that case, what we should do. All right. So this is a serious passage. It's a warning in the passage. It is instruction in the passage. It lets us all know we're all going to be offended one way or the other. But how do you deal with it? Well, let me give you a warning first. Verse 1 would say you need to deal with it. Because if you don't deal with these offenses correctly, the end of it will be a woe. And we don't want that. We want to be, you all know the opposite of woe. You know, the opposite of woe is blessed. And let's look at that for a moment. Let's go to back to Luke chapter 6, I believe. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Okay, Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 20. And this is where Jesus talking to his disciples in 17. And then we get to verse 20. And verse 20, if you notice, it says, then he, Jesus, lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed. Now Jesus pronounces these blessings, what we call the Beatitude. He blesses in verse 20. Verse 21, blessed. 21 again, blessed. Is that the end of the blessings? Right there. Okay, in this sermon on the plain, Jesus pronounces these blessings. Well, a blessing is a pronouncement of good. The blessings come from God. God is the blesser of people. God is the blesser of his own. But then the Lord, as I said, God is just. And I said that last week. He's going to balance all the scales. And there's the opposite of the blessings. And the opposite of the blessings is woe. And the woes come in verse 24, starting in verse 24 of Luke chapter 6. Verse 24 says, woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who, I mean, you have to read the whole Bible. That doesn't mean everybody who's rich has a curse on them. But you all know what I'm saying. Verse 24, woe to you. Verse 25, woe to you. Verse 25 again, woe to you. Verse 26, woe to you. And these are the things that bring woes, the things that bring blessings. So we want to be on that side of the scale of blessings. We don't want to be on the side of woe. Now, why did I go to that? Because these are spiritual, packed words that carry great weight. You're either blessed by God, eternally, forever blessed by God, or there aren't but two sides eternally. In the long run, when it's all said and done, you're either on the blessed side or you're on the cursed side, which is the woe side. So we want to be on that blessed side. And part of why I went to that, there's more that could be said. But let's go back to Luke 17, because I want you to see the seriousness of this verse. It's not just, but woe to him through whom they come. And you keep going. It's a serious warning. Red light flashing. Danger ahead. Don't end up in hell. Listen to these woes. Also listen to the blessings. But now in chapter 17, listen to the woes. Listen to the warnings. And don't just think, all of us, don't just think, oh, he's talking to them. He's not talking to me. Well, we want to make sure the particular scripture does not apply to us personally. We want to be on the correct side. So now we see the blanket statement of chapter 17 here, verse 1, is offenses are going to happen in life. That's the subject. And if someone asks you, what did you talk about in class? Well, you talked about, we learn offenses will come. But now it tells us, woe to him through whom they do come. They're going to come, I'm telling you that. But now the warning is, make sure that you don't be on the side of bringing evil to someone, bringing bad to someone, doing things to someone to hurt them. Now, we've all been hurt in life. We've all hurt someone in life. As we grow in grace, we pray that that happens less and less. And we've learned about forgiveness and all of that. Okay, we know about forgiveness, and God does forgive. But this scripture is talking about warnings against intentional coming against people. All right? So woe to him through whom they do come. Verse 2. Now he does a comparison. I'm going to tell you how bad this woe is. It would be better. Now that's the comparison. Let's weigh it in the scale. How bad is it? Why is a woe attached? Well, the woe is attached because Jesus is letting you know this is how serious this is. It would be better. That's a comparison word. It would be better for him, that person who brings the offense against another, it would be better for him if a millstone, and I encourage you all to, you can do your own, you know, the Bible, you can go on and on reading and studying, but that heavy stone with the circle and in the middle and the head of the person in between the rock, I mean, it's more than a rock, it's a millstone with someone in between, and that stone is crushing. So it would be better for him. A person is involved. There's a person involved here with this stone. It would be better for that person if a millstone. Now, most of us, I've even had, this is a very poor illustration, but it's an illustration nonetheless. I've even had a necklace on that's too heavy. And after a while, I want that thing off my neck. That, like I said, that's a poor illustration compared to a millstone. So I encourage each one of you, you can Google up and look at images and pictures and see a millstone and read about a millstone, see what it's all about. But it's this heavy, heavy, heavy object, rock, stone, meant to crush. Meant to crush. That's the purpose of it, is to crush. It would be better for this person if a millstone were hung around his neck. And you got to think of the neck area. Now, God's put great strength in that neck. Our neck does great things. That neck is doing all kinds of functions in our body. But we don't want a millstone hung around it. But that's what will happen. This is the illustration that Jesus gives. Is don't be on the woe side with the Lord. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck. Notice the word hung, around his neck. And he were thrown. See, it's personal here. This is the seriousness of it and the danger of being on the wrong side. And the importance, as we will see, of forgiven people. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown, that person who brought the offense, who brought the wrong words, who went too far in their speech, who did not forgive and never did get around to forgiving, didn't want to forgive. The person who hurt somebody, they did it, and some are proud they do it, did it, and will do it again. Some people don't have any problem with hurting people and don't intend on forgiving people. You know, we don't want to be in that group. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown. You know, a rock's going to sink anyway. That rock's going to sink. But it says better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown. That's that casting out. He were thrown into the sea. Now, that's quite a comparison. It would be better to be thrown into a sea. Well, which one of us wants to go into the sea? Which one of us want to be thrown into a sea? You know, and this is it's a drowning, but it's even a worse than drowning. It's thrown into that sea and it's eternal. These are eternal woes. And that's why I said, remember that word woe. It's an open-ended word. If God pronounces a woe, it's a woe. There is no out from the woe. There's no escape. There is just woe forever. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend. Now here comes that word offend, because offend was in verse 17. We're going to see the word offend now in verse 2. Than that he should offend one of these little ones. So that's the warning here. Don't offend the little ones. So we need to identify, well, who are those little ones? Well, it's a wide definition. The little ones, of course, could be the children. And they do get hurt. Be careful with how we treat children. There's a special woe on don't mistreat children. But it's also not just children age-wise. It's also children in faith. We have babes in Christ. They're babies. You know what babies are? Babies don't know better. When they get ready to spit up, they're going to spit up. That's what babies do. And we don't want to offend the babies. I mean, they might be a 48-year-old baby, but they are a Christian. They're God's child. And their spiritual age could be altogether different. Most times it is from their natural age. So there's these little ones are not just talking about chronological age, even though that's included. Woe unto him who messes with little children. And there are illustrations of that in scripture. Don't mess with those little children. And the Bible talks about their angels are beholding the Father's face. There's something special about those little children. But it's not just to the little children. It relates to the little ones, which could be, as I said, chronological age. And you all know, when I don't know the age I was born again. I don't know the day I was saved, but I know I'm a child of God. That I know. And I know I'm born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But I can't tell you it was on one Tuesday. I don't know if it was Tuesday or Wednesday, but I know I've been born again. That I know. And I was saved as a young child. I was young when I was saved, but I grew in grace. Others came in at different ages. Some don't come in to even old age, and they are babes in Christ. So we have to be careful with this word, the little ones. That little one could be a young child. The little one could be someone older, but young in faith. Young in faith. So we want to be careful with them. And you do have to discern within the body of Christ. Are they just doing things because they don't know better? It could be they just don't know any better. Well, you make allowances for that. They might should have known better. Well, maybe someone back then, back there, babies require what? Babies require care. Babies require somebody's got to feed them. Someone has to clean them. Someone has to instruct them. Someone has to teach them how to talk, how to walk, how to say good morning to people. Somebody's got to teach them. So that person can grow up and be even an older person, but didn't learn those basics. So I'm just saying there, the little ones are not necessarily chronological in age, but they can also be spiritual babies. Be careful that you don't offend them. Be careful with the little ones. Let me read verse 2 again. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. You need to visualize scripture. It's good to meditate on scripture and picture it and talk it out, walk it out, think it, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, verse 3 starts flashing, red light, train coming. Train crossing, danger ahead. Be careful. Take heed. Warning. It's a warning. Verse 3 is saying right there, take heed. Well, don't say that's to them. It's take heed to ourselves. That's what he says. Take heed to yourselves. So you got to search me, old guy. Search me. We used to sing that, search me, search me, search me, God. So search me, search me, search me, God. You all know that song. If you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. I think that was it. Search me, O God. And so verse 3 tells us, take heed to yourselves. Because, you know, we can always find fault with someone else. Always. So, you know, it takes the Spirit of God. It takes a sincere heart and an humble heart. And I learned this a long time ago in the Bible study in years ago. Where Sister Rosie Cooper would say, Lord, show me me. That's a good prayer. Show me me. Because, you know, we're easier on ourselves than we are on others. So we need the Lord because we have this, you know, discrimination. But we have self-discrimination against our own selves. And we have, you know, it's okay because we've lived. I'm not saying it's okay to be overlook our faults. But what I do say, we're easier on ourselves than others. And this scripture in verse 3 is telling us, take heed to yourself. Warning to you, to me, to Velma. I'm reading it. I'm even more responsible because I'm teaching it. And you all, my measure of when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I'll be measured on a stricter judgment than you all. Because I'm teaching the word of God. I'm teaching the word that carries a greater weight with it. So verse 3, take heed to yourselves. Look at you first. God, show me me. Take heed to yourselves. Now that's the warning coming on to us. Be careful. Take heed to yourself. If your brother, now we're talking about relationships, talking about relationships between, and it says your brother. So we're going to say within the Christian faith, within the household of faith, within the church. But I also say we don't want to limit it there because we know we're not to offend anyone. We're not to offend and hurt anyone. And we're responsible to forgive. We're responsible to forgive. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. Here comes conditions. If your brother sins against you, okay, here comes that big word sin. If your brother sins against you, okay, someone's done you wrong. They sinned against you. They know they made a mistake. They sinned against you. If your brother sins against you, then the scripture gives us some responsibility here, some instruction here. It tells us, rebuke him. Tell him about it. Well, tell him about it. It kind of, you know, so some of us, we'll be glad to tell you about it now. We'll tell you about it. We want to tell you off. But that ain't exactly what this means, tell them off. It says, now this is to do what? We're trying to make amends. We're trying to reconcile. We're trying to cause the relationship that has been broken to be mended. That's the objective. To mend the relationship. Verse 3, if your brother sins against you, because that's what verse 1 told us. Verse 1 told us offenses are going to come. So if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Well, there's a responsibility for us to go to that person. Go to that person. That's very important. It doesn't say tell everyone in the neighborhood, go to that person. Now, in going to that person, there's a lot that could be said, in going to that person, you have to go, first of all, what? Make sure it was really an offense. Make sure that it was a sin against you, not your cousin. You know, this is fixing relationships, not trying to spread bitter seeds. You're trying to reconcile things. So take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Tell him, you hurt me. You did me wrong. Now you have to be careful how you say it, but say it. Because sometimes, and we know this, people hurt people. And sometimes they don't even know they hurt you. I've had that happen. All of us have probably had that happen. It's probably someone walking around today holding a grudge against us, and we don't even know it. We don't even know we did it. We have no idea, and they're upset with us. So that's the importance of tell that person. Rebuke him. I'm trying to find where I am. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, which is the objective, we want to bring it to light, bring that sin to light, bring that hurt, that offense to light between you and that person. And if he repents, forgive him. That's simple. If he forgets, now that word, if he forgets, I mean, if he repents, well, then we could say, well, what if he doesn't repent? Well, the next verse is going to deal with that too. But it says right here, if he repents, I'm sorry. I didn't know I hurt you. I'm glad you came to me. Now, it always doesn't always go like that. You all know that in life. Doesn't always go like that. Some people hurt you. They mean to hurt you. They ain't looking for no forgiveness. They mad and want to be mad. But our job is still to seek reconciliation, especially among the brethren, but among all, we're to forgive. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Don't sugarcoat it. Let him know. Spell it out. Tell him in the right spirit. You know, you ain't trying to cuss anybody out. We're trying to reconcile. We're trying to mend a relationship and keep harmony within the family of God. And if he repents, forgive him. Okay, forgive that person. And then we go on. The relationship is fixed. Now, we all know that's easier said than done, but it can be done. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. First is the will. You have to have the will to want to seek reconciliation. If he repents, here it tells us simple, forgive him. Now, we've all lived through this. We've all walked through this. Somebody's holding on to some grudge now that someone did years ago. Because those things are deep. I mean, they take deep root. Offenses. That's why it says take heed, because they do take such deep root. I mean, all of us, we could think of it if we went back in our own life, and we don't want to dig up all the things that have happened in life. We certainly don't want to dig up all the hurts that people have done to us in life. Leave that stuff buried unless you need to deal with it. Someone may need to go to someone and ask for forgiveness. Dig it up and deal with it on this side of the grave. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Ain't no whole bunch of 16 steps to it. It's if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you, well, let me back up verse 3. Take heed to yourself. If he sins against you, rebuke him. Tell him about it. Go to him. If he repents, forgive him. If he says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, and sincerely means that, forgive that person. What if they don't sincerely mean it? What if they don't sincerely mean, what if they don't sincerely repent? Do your part. We do our part and leave the rest to God. Verse 4, and if he sins against you 7 times in a day, that's what the Lord said. What if he come back and do it again? And you know, they do it again. Intentionally or not intentionally, they do it again. Well, if they sin against you 7 times in a day, 7 times, that number of completion, 7 times in a day, and if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So that's the responsibility of us being offended in life, being hurt in life, things come in life, and we could go branch off into a million offenses that could come in life. Offenses, words that people speak, most of them come through words. Actions, people do things intentionally to hurt. People do things that hurt, but they didn't do it intentionally. And I think of this simple illustration. It's very simple, but it happened. You know how ladies be in the restroom and we wear slips, and nowadays people ain't wearing so many, but you all know undergarments are slip, and those slips will fall and they will hang. Well, I'm in the restroom with someone else, and the ladies are doing what the ladies are doing, and someone's slip was hanging. And I didn't see their slip was hanging. I didn't see it. I sincerely didn't see that lady's slip was hanging. But she thought I saw her slip was hanging. And she took offense at me, who didn't see her hanging slip. And got offended because I didn't tell her about her slip hanging that I didn't know about. I mean, that's just how wicked the devil is, first of all, and how things can just creep up and a person hold offense. She knew my slip was hanging. And my mom was a witness to this. And my mom said, Velma didn't know. Velma would have told you. And I would have told her, but I didn't know. But she was hot under the collar because I didn't tell her her slip was hanging. And that's just how things can happen so quickly. I don't know. I hope she got over it. You know, I don't know if she did or not, but I've moved on. Okay, I'm not holding that against her because I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm just bringing out an illustration. Offenses will come. You don't even know they came, but it came. Sometimes you do know. And then verse 5 says, and the apostle said to the Lord, after the Lord says all what he just said, what was the apostle's response? It is 7:29. They didn't say it's 7:29, but that's what I got to say. It's 7:29. So next week, Lord willing, I'm not sure if we're going to move on in the chapter, because a lot more could be said on offenses, on forgiveness, on repentance. Those are all huge subjects. So we may go on, we may not. I'll see how the Lord leads. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me and lead us in the way everlasting. We thank you that you are our guide. We thank you that you are our loving Heavenly Father. And now, Lord, as we separate from one another, even via Zoom, we ask you to be with us. Keep us in your loving care. And thank you, Lord God, for how you give us instruction. Keep us in your care until we meet again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
God
bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless
you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Bless.
Have a blessed week.
Everyone as well.
Love everybody.
Yeah, me too. There's Brother Joe and Sister Jewel Gay and Wendell and Sharon. I don't know if Sadie is still online with us, Sister Cole.
Yes.
Sister Anna's online with us. Good to see her. Sister Carter. Sister Carter is decked out tonight, y'all. Good to see you, Sister Carter.
All right.
And don't forget, we have names.
Ruby is with us.
Ruby Williams.
Yes, ma'am.
Good to see you, Sister Ruby Williams. I love you all.
Love you too.
Praying for you and pray for me.
Yes, we will.
Pray for humanity. Pray for a hurting world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I hope to see you all next week. I'm going to end the Zoom call.
Have a great week.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye.